नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 6, chapter 9, text 48. Kim drapam mayi prite tatapi rishabha, vibhuda rishabha, mayi ekanta mati na anyat mataha vanchati tatpavit. Kim durapam mayi prite tathapi vibhud tathapi vibhudarshabham. That again. Tathapi vibhudarshabham. Tathapi vibhudarshabham. Maye kanta mati manyan. Matho vanchati tatvavit. Kim durapam mayi prite tathapi vibhudarshabha maye kanta matir nanyan matho vanchati tatpavit. Kim durapam mayi prite tathapi vibhudarshabha maye kanta matir nanyan matho vanchati tatvavit. Ladies, please. Kim? What? Durapam, difficult to obtain. Mai, when I. Prite, satisfied. Tathapi, still. Vibhuda Rishabha, O best of the intelligent demigods. Mai, in me. Ekanta, exclusively fixed. Mati, whose attention. Na anyat, not anything other. Mata, than me. Vanchati, desires. Tatvavit, one who knows the truth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Please repeat. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy, Dhritarasura, to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty, one can get anything he desires if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is very significant, very important regarding ourselves. Although all of us here, and all of us even on the internet, are supposed to be engaged in devotional service for no other purpose than to give pleasure or satisfaction to the Supreme Lord, sometimes we forget this very basic principle and the very purpose of our service, whether it be in the temple, whether it be outside on a job. Because Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do this as an offering unto me. In this way, you'll be freed from the bondage of work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and you will come to me. In other words, if you always do it for me, Krishna says, forget yourself, forget all about having big-time ambitions. Don't worry about getting famous. Don't worry about becoming a multimillionaire. Don't think of any of these things. Just do the job, whatever it is. Do it as well as you can. And do it as your love offering, as your sacrament to me. And if you think of me, if you concentrate your mind upon me, if you depend upon me, then whatever you're doing will purify you. Your heart will become pure. Your mind will become pure. Your intelligence will become pure. The body will become pure. Everything about yourself will become very pure. And that is because the Lord, as Prabhupada describes Him, is the supreme pure. And when we associate with the supreme pure, we naturally become pure ourselves. For example, if I have dirt on my hands and I shake your hands and yours is clean, well, your hand is going to come away dirty. That's natural. You'll pick up the dirt from my hand. But if my hand is clean and your hand is clean, then there will be no dirt exchanged. So ideally, we should try to cleanse our hearts. Keep our hearts as clean as possible by not allowing lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, illusion, madness, as well as gluttony and sloth, and all of these terrible types of feelings or emotions. When they begin to manifest, what they do is they make animals out of us. But when they are not manifest, or when they are disappeared from us as a result of spiritual practices, then the mind is peaceful, the mind is calm, the mind is clean, and it can receive the blessings of the Supreme Lord as well as His great devotees. A mind which is restless and stubborn or disturbed or shaky cannot receive those blessings. Very difficult, because it's concentrating usually on acquiring or obtaining or accumulating some material object, some material want. So Krishna is saying over here, and Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing, the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. So a devotee on the material platform is called he's a devotee, but he's a mixed devotee, an alloyed devotee. And those who are on the spiritual platform purely are called unalloyed or pure, at least in their focus. They may not yet be completely pure, but they're striving for purity. And that is good, and Krishna seeing that will gradually make them pure, as long as they are sincere in their efforts and not merely putting on a show or doing it for some honor or distinction, adoration. Krishna says four kinds of persons begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Of these, the one with full knowledge, who is always engaged in pure devotional service, is the best. For I am very dear to him, and he is dear to me. Very important. One who is engaged in full devotional service. So we ask ourselves, what is full devotional service? Well, full devotional service means that one's mind, one's heart, one's intelligence, and one's body are completely centered on serving the Lord, glorifying the Lord, remembering Krishna, worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord. In other words, his mind is completely focused upon Krishna. This is what we call a sincere and pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Instruction, he gives some very nice words on this. the moment they slip my mind. I will come back to it. The important point is that, yes, I just recalled it. He realizes, a pure devotee of the Lord, realizes he's an eternal servant of the Lord. Not temporary, eternal. That is his constitutional position. Jivera swarupahoi krishnera nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is to be an eternal servant of the Lord. So he realizes he's an eternal servant of the Lord. He loses interest in everything except wanting to serve the Supreme Lord. He's always thinking of new ways to spread Krishna's holy name. He realized that it's so important, it's so valuable, it's so transformative, that by just hearing it once can make the difference in changing a person's life. Just hearing the name Krishna is so powerful. Simply by hearing the name Krishna, even once, one can counteract the reactions to more sins than he's able to commit. That means the holy name of the Lord is infinitely powerful. We cannot see the end of its benefit. We cannot see the end of its auspiciousness. And it's so easy, we just say Krishna. And yet every time we say it, our beings are being transformed. Inwardly, we are being changed and we are being spiritualized just by the contact of Krishna's holy name, because Krishna is non-different from his name. That is the special benefit of Kali Yuga, that he has invested himself in his name so that when we chant the name, when it's on our tongue, when it's in our mouth, when we hear it in our ears, we are blessed over and over and over again. It is so powerful, it is so important, and it should be cherished, it should be treasured as our greatest wealth. There is no wealth greater than that, because it is non-different from the supreme wealth, who is Krishna. Krishna has all opulences, and when one chants the holy name in a mood of surrender, in a mood of affection, in a mood of devotion, in a mood of submission, then Krishna is pleased by that type of chanting. Because the devotee is recognizing his subordinate position to Krishna's supreme position. And he's recognizing that really he's nobody, he's nothing. But Krishna is everything and is in everybody. And recognizing the power of Krishna and the lack of power in himself, or better stated yet, whatever power the devotee has, whatever he expresses, the devotee recognizes, realizes that is all coming as grace from Krishna. There are some people who can't speak. There are some people who cannot even think. There are some people who have lost use of their limbs. So, whatever we do, whether we're walking, or whether we're talking, or whether we're reading, whether we're speaking, whether we're preaching, whether we're eating, whatever we're doing is being done by the grace of Krishna. This has to be remembered. Often we all forget, I know I forget this, but I read these wonderful books, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and it reminds me that I have an incredible debt. My debt to Krishna is unfathomable. It's unlimited. It's astronomical. Because if he's giving me all of these things, my food and my clothing and my shelter and my education and my books and wonderful association like all of you here, and the wonderful, he comes in the form of the deity to enable us to get closer to him so that ultimately we can realize Krishna in our heart. And realizing Krishna in our heart as Shyamasundara, and becoming one in love with him. Not we merge into him, but we become one in love with him. As Krishna says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me. And I do not know anything else but him. So the Lord is within our heart and he loves our association. And we also should love his association. And because we're all yet contaminated, we don't have pure vision, And we can see the Lord in the deity form. We can feel the Lord in the form of His name. So the Lord is making Himself easily accessible to us. And He is also telling us how valuable His holy name is, and that by chanting it, we will become purer and purer and purer. All of those qualities that I mentioned before, lust, anger, and greed, and envy, they gradually disappear. They make up the covering around the soul, and which prevents the soul from truly realizing itself, that it is a soul. It thinks it's the body. It thinks it's this form. And then it gets extended when it thinks it's the form. It also thinks it's its car, if it has a car, or its boat, or its house, or its child, or its organization, its business. It extends that false identity to so many other objects all around. So if the car gets smashed, he says, "Oh my God, my car is smashed." It's as if somebody has smashed him, punched him in the face. Why? Because he's identifying that car as himself. So I was mentioning before the different qualities of the pure devotees. He understands that his only business is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person should be recognized as an Uttama Adhikari. And the advanced Uttama Adhikari should be accepted as a bona fide spiritual master. This is from the Nectar of Instruction for reference. So this is a very, very important point. A person whose entire focus, his entire attention is on Krishna. And that's because he knows Krishna is so valuable. He also knows that at any moment he can die. This body can fall. The end will come. And all my false identities and all my objects that I have of my possessions, it will all disappear. But the only one object that will remain, and that is Krishna and the soul. So it becomes, or it behooves the soul to strip itself of these false identifications and to focus itself on the only real, true, lasting, enduring person in the universe. And all, of course, his great servants. All the great acharyas are extensions of Krishna. So this is a very important principle. And now these demigods, which is mentioned, they are expressing some of the most beautiful prayers, but they are expressing them for the wrong purpose. Their concern is to be rulers. Their concern is to be important. Their concern is to be famous. Vayu, the wind god, Indra, head of all the gods, and the rain god, the sun god, everybody saluting them, adoring them, worshipping them. This is what they're feasting on. Adoration, profit, distinction, glorification. This is their food, and it's poison. And they don't know that it's poison. They're thinking this is something good until they come into some miserable situation as they had just before when the demons or the asuras conquered them. So now that they've been conquered, they realize they're not as strong as they were, as thought they were. They're not as powerful. They're not as great. They're not as glorious. They were thinking they were because everybody was serving them. Everyone was bowing down to them. Everyone was adoring them. Everyone was glorifying. But now they're not so important. So what do? But they're smart, though. They know who to go to try to resume what they had. And Krishna owns everything. So they understand this. Krishna owns it all, so let's go to the owner, who allowed us to have some dominion over it. So they are going to Krishna, and not going, but they have gone to Krishna, and they have prayed to him. And these prayers are very, very beautiful. But a person can have beautiful prayers and pray for the wrong purposes. So Krishna is saying over here, very nicely, he's saying that, A pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. They don't ask me for position, for dominion, for food, for clothing, for shelter. They just ask for one thing. My dear Lord, please allow me to serve you now and forever. That is the greatest blessing, the greatest benediction you can give me. And if you keep me engaged in your service and you keep me remembering you as the greatest and the highest and the best, as the most beautiful, the most wealthy, the most powerful or strong, the most famous, the most knowledgeable, the most renowned, if you keep me remembering all of these wonderful attributes that you have, that I am not just worshiping a form, but I am worshiping the supreme form who is supreme power, who is present everywhere, who is full of the most incredible kind and the most infinite degree of love. If we pray in this manner, my dear Lord, please keep me engaged in your devotional service. But we do that. We chant this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We do this every day. But how many of us remember the meaning of this while we're chanting it? The meaning is very simple. I just stated it. My dear Lord, or some devotees prefer, my dear Radharani, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's loving service. Please allow me, please help me, give me facility, give me ability, enable me to please Krishna more today than I have yesterday. Sharpen my talents, give me more consciousness of what I'm doing. If I'm a cook, let me be more aware of how much salt I'm putting in, how much pepper I'm putting in, how much cardamom, how many different... Sometimes you put just a little too much. Sometimes a little too little. But a devotee who is extremely conscious of the process of devotional service will put just the right amount because he is being guided by Krishna. And Krishna, in effect, is telling him what he wants and what will please him. And so the devotee becomes a perfect instrument, a loving instrument, a serving instrument of the Supreme Lord. And this should be our aspiration. Whether you're sweeping the floor or washing the toilets, whether you're worshiping the deity, or whether we're washing pots, or whether we're out on Sankirtan, whatever we do, Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do it for me. If we forget that the purpose of it, then we don't get the full benefit of it. Let me say categorically that anyone who does any service for Krishna, whether you remember him or not, you will be benefited. Krishna never forgets. Every step we take towards Krishna, whether it's even chanting the Hare Krishna mantra just once, that will give benefit. But we don't want just a little benefit. As they say, we want the whole ball of wax. We want it all. And what is all? We want to be fully in love with Krishna, and we want to stop loving our little bodies, stop loving our minds, stop loving our thoughts, unless, of course, those thoughts are thoughts directed to, dedicated to Krishna. Those thoughts are good, and the more we love them, the more we will express them. And the more we express them, the more we will further express them. So therefore, our mind will, you might say, percolate, or it will bubble with thoughts of loving thoughts of Krishna. And there are so many nice prayers in our books, and also personal prayers. Each and every one of us may be having a little difficulty. Maybe difficulty getting up in the morning. Maybe difficulty when you're coming before the deities, feeling any devotion. Sometimes devotees, they say to me, I don't feel any love for Krishna. I just come before, this looks like a statue. So I say to them, okay. That's at least honest, because from there you can go up. But if you fake it and tell everybody, yes, I'm really having a great experience of Krishna, but actually all you're seeing is a statue and you have no feeling whatsoever, that's not so good. Because you can't go up. It's called pretense. But if at least a person says, no, I don't have any feeling for the deity on the altar, so then I generally tell them, I said, well, you have to pray, you have to beg, you have to ask. There's an old saying in the Jesus Christ said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. So you ask, but ask from the heart, not just, I don't have any feeling for you, Krishna. What's the point? Doesn't make any sense. Please help me. No, no, it's got to be from the heart. My Lord, I want to be able to feel love for you, but I don't feel any. I have so much love for my own body, for my tongue. I can't wait till we have prasadam. I can just stuff my tongue, stuff my mouth, stuff my belly, and now I feel good about. So I want to feel that way about you. I want to stuff my eyes with you. I want to stuff my ears with the holy name and feel your holy presence. But right now I'm just feeling empty. Please help me. So you pray. So sometimes nothing happens for 6 months. Krishna tests the sincerity of your prayer. And then suddenly one day you have a feeling for the Lord. You want to run into the temple. You want to throw yourself in front of the altar. Krishna is making himself known in the heart. When he makes himself known in the heart, you feel the inner peace that Krishna gives to the soul. When he expresses his love to the soul feels inner peace. What Krishna is, Satchit Ananda, inner peace, inner joy or bliss, inner knowledge, inner strength, inner freedom, inner happiness. This is what the soul is seeking, but it's always looking outside for this. And it looks outside in order to dominate material nature and enjoy. We once were in the original, originally we were all in the spiritual world. And we were servants of the Lord. But at one point we no longer wanted to serve, but wanted to be enjoyers like the Lord. So because we insisted, the Lord did not resist. And he allowed us to come to this world. And when we came into this world, we were saddled, if you will, with a false ego. We were given the idea that we are our bodies, the minds, the intelligence. And five kinds of ignorance were infested upon us, so to speak. We forgot that we were eternal souls. We began to think that we are our material, our physical bodies. We began to believe and think and act on the idea that the more you enjoy with your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue, your skin, the happier you will be. And we found out otherwise that we become miserable. Because the more you enjoy through the senses, you become attached to those objects. When we become attached to the object and we can't get the object for one reason or another, then we're miserable. We're sad. We're sorrowful. Because we're bereft of the happiness from the senses. And that's our only happiness. So we want to have the happiness of the senses, but somehow we can't have them. Or sometimes we become sick and the senses don't work. So life is miserable. So that's the third. We begin to think that I will be happy with sense pleasure, but we find out that we are not happy, we're miserable. And we think that if we become angry when we're frustrated, that's good. Even some of the psychologists today said to you, yeah, let your anger out. So you let it out on somebody and he gives you a punch in the mouth and you lose your teeth. Very good advice. He doesn't pay your dental bill for a bridge. You have to pay it. So anyway, the important point is that we think when we become angry because we can't get some object of our affection, the anger intensifies our affection for the object. The more you're angry, the more you're saying, in effect, I need this. And the more you're saying, I need it, we are reinforcing the idea that we need it. So that's why in the book it says so often, many, many verses, that we should give up anger, give up hatred, give up jealousy. And another item, not only anger, but one believes with this these five kinds of ignorance that mentioned, Lord Kapila mentions these, that of these five kinds of ignorance, the last is to think that death ends all, therefore let me just cram as much sense pleasure into my life as I can, and the net result is disorder, disease, and sorrow, and difficulties. That's the nature of pleasure. It's always balanced with pain. You take 10 pounds of pleasure, You get 10 pounds of pain, but the 10 pounds of pain feel like 100 pounds when they really hit. It doesn't feel like 10, although it's equal. So this is very good. But an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. Such pleasures of the senses have a beginning and an end, and the wise person does not delight in them. He delights in that which is forever, that which is endures, that which is always in existence, and that is Krishna. So that is our real business, to develop our love for Krishna. And we need to pray for this love. As I said, we naturally love our bodies, we naturally love sense objects. We need to shift that, transfer that love to the Supreme Lord. And we need the assistance, we need the help, we need the grace of the Supreme Lord to help us do this. When we pray from the heart, when we beg the Lord, cry out to the Lord, appeal to Him, He comes very swiftly, very quickly. But if we remain proud, we remain arrogant, remain vain, remain complacent, feeling, I don't need God, I can do it myself, like the demigods do, just here. They don't need Krishna. Only they come to Krishna when they're sacked, when they're defeated, when they're lost. And then He helps them because they are devotees of a sort. So we don't want to be that kind of a devotee. We want to be those kind of devotees who give our full heart, our full body, our full intelligence to Krishna. And that way Krishna will be extremely pleased with this surrender. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So what kind of a reward do we want? The reward that we want is the reward of Krishna's pleasure. That pleasure, not our pleasure. We want to be able to give Krishna pleasure. And if we can do that, if we can give Him pleasure, that is the greatest. We will automatically feel pleasure from Krishna's reciprocation. But we do not have to think of our own pleasure. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Before you go, are there any questions or any comments anyone would like to make? I still have a few moments. No? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.